Marilyn Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Life Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 2, for Autumn Semester 2019. Lecture 20, delivered on October 31.
Today, stock valuation alternatives. To begin with, though, as you can see, the market had an up day yesterday because the Fed cut rates. And that information is now gone, it's used up, and so today we are in bad news for the day, that China has said that there probably won't be a long-term deal on in the trade war that's going on with the United States. So that dropped the market today. The market just reacts day to day. There's no residual from a previous day. That's already in there. And so you're seeing what the effect of today is. And as you can see, if you look at the Standard & Poor's 500, right there, see that drop, the bear drop right there in the early trading? That was that in new information being absorbed by the market. Once the market had absorbed that, then it bounced a little bit, had a nice little bull rally there. Bargain hunters mostly, see that? There was a little spike there of bargain hunters grabbing up some stocks that were pulled down in the hurricane earlier in the morning. And now we're just kind of popping around back and forth because there's no big news now. If something else comes through today, then we'll have another distinct movement in one direction or the other. I wouldn't bet on that, though, for today. But moving to the topic of today's lecture, this is just more or less just do the formulas, read the numbers that you're given in the problems, and work it out. First of all, the dividend growth model was the one I showed you yesterday, and that formula, just get it down comprehensively. I'm going to get a list here of the different valuation approaches so that you have just a comprehensive set for in your notes that you can then use on the homework, and if there's a test or quiz. I will be giving you a surprise quiz on Tuesday, a real one, not an attendance quiz. The dividend growth model says that the price of the stock right now is going to be the dividend one period out over the discount rate that you want to use for this, for dividends, whatever the risk of the dividends is, over R minus G. And then, of course, the D1 is going to be the D0 grown one period. D1 is D0 times 1 plus G. That's the basic formula that we use if the company is stable. And I showed you that other approach where you use the horizon value. I can write that as a formula. I don't know how much good it's going to be for you to have it, but the one where the dividend is not constant right away, you would want to say that the price per share right now would be the sum from I equals 1 to T, where T is the horizon time, horizon year, I'll just put it, of the present value of the dividends up to the horizon, and then plus the present value of the horizon, which is this one right here, D over T plus 1 over R minus G, if that makes any sense to you. In other words, you add up the present values of the unstable dividends, their present values, and then you add in the present value of the horizon where you've got a constant growth happening. Like I said, I don't know how useful that is, but you can have that in your notes. Now, a few other approaches are out there. One that's really rough, and it's kind of a silly approach, but in a way, it kind of works. It's called the PE valuation approach. And it works like this. It says, okay, suppose that the price-earnings ratio of a company, I'll pull one up here and show it to you in action here. The price-earnings ratio of a company is some value. Now, what you would want to do then is you would take the current P-E ratio, price-earnings ratio, and then you would times that by the projected earnings in the next period. Now, what that would do is that would sort of like these two earnings would cancel out, and that would be your expected price of the stock in the next period. It's such a mindless, the question is, well, is the P-E ratio going to stay stable? Is that real? Yeah.
Is that a T or 200
B? Where?
In the bottom.
Here?
No.
Here?
No.
Here?
Yeah. On the PB, parentheses, D.
Sabai? D-Sabai, yeah. Okay, look. XYZ Common has a P-E ratio of 11.36. Earnings are projected to be 4.12 per share. I mean, there's always an earnings call. They'll project the earnings. And so you just say, okay, take 11.36 times 4.12, 11.36 times 4.32 per share. In other words, your P-E ratio times your projected earnings per share, EPS, and that's how you get this price, that's how you project a price of a stock. And like I said, it's in a way, it's a really stupid approach, but it actually, I mean, it's used, and it's actually, from what I've seen, it's kind of successful. 11.36 times $4.12 per share times, yes, I did. Thank you. I try to talk and chew gum at the same time, and it doesn't work. 4.12. So the price is projected to be $46.80.
$46.80, yeah.
I mean, it's so easy. It's almost like, is this really a legit approach? Yeah, it is. It's used. I've seen it used. I've been sitting and heard traders and investors do this little back-of-the-envelope thing and say, well, yeah, it looks like it's going to be about $46.80 in the next year when the earnings come out for the next year. If their earnings projection is right, now the company is going to give its own earnings projections, and you have to you use those to say, okay, the stock price would be this. Then you look at the stock price. If the stock price is lower than that, you would buy. If it's higher than that, then you probably short sell, as long as you had enough time for a good short sell. That's about all there is to it. I mean, it's not a hard approach at all. Oh, what gets a little bit more complicated, and the homework problems, as far as I can tell, all they'll do is just give you the numbers, put the numbers in, and calculate it. The next one here is the enterprise value approach, EVA. I'm trying to think. Let me think. No, just enterprise value. I'm trying to keep in sync with what the textbook says. Enterprise value. Now, the enterprise value is just, it's just say, okay, take the enterprise value would be the market value of equity. In other words, the market cap. The market cap. The market value of equity is the market cap. Plus the market value of debt. Now this one's a little bit more of a pain in the butt because you're going to have to look at the book value of debt, what's out there, and then say, all right, what that would assume that the market value, the book is saying $1,000 per unit. Okay, what's the market saying? Right now the market's saying this debt is selling at a premium to par of, let's say, $1,020. So you would have to adjust the book value to see what the market was saying that value was. Okay, plus the market value of other claims. In other words, the other things on the liability aside from just debt, on the liability claims. Now, what does that mean? In practice, you're probably just going to take what's on the balance sheet. You're just going to say, all right, we got some accounts payable, we got some the current portion of long-term debt, et cetera, et cetera. Those are probably going to be, your best shot at those is going to be your whatever the balance sheet says, whatever the accountants say. Finding the market value. Oh, and minus cash equivalents. I'm going to show you something here. Do any of you ever go to, have any of you ever gone to a GameStop? You're familiar with them, right? I mean, well, you know, GameStop is near its death now. It's flailing along, and the current management, these new young people who have taken over the executive ranks at the behest of the board of directors, are talking about this great positive future that's coming for the company. They're going to get everything together. They are going to lead the way into the gaming future by storm and all of that kind of thing. Let me show you something. GameStop, GME. Let's show you, and I'm not going to go. I should do this on the SEC site, but I'm going to try to pull it right here on Yahoo's site. First of all, see your earnings per share is negative $10.66. That's really bad. That's really bad. I mean, the target is right now selling at $5.47 a share. But let me show you something. If I can find the financials, I'm going to find the balance sheet. Come on, where's the balance sheet? Balance sheet, there it is. Now, why is this company not? It's going to die one way or the other. It's going to die within 5 to 7 years, or they could guide it in to a soft landing and kill the company in about a year. Let me show you why. Holy cow. Do you see that cash this company has? $1.6 billion. That's why, if this company really wanted to do its shareholders a favor, it would bleed that cash off, which would send the enterprise value skyrocketing. Let me say that again. You see that this company, as dead as it is, Okay. You, sir, you have an older brother. He's a loser. He smells bad. He's never done anything worth anything in his life. He's finally realized that his life is just going to be happy times, meth, and alcohol. Okay? And he comes to you, knock, knock, knock on the door one night. You open the door, go away. And he says, brother, look. And he pulls out $1.6 billion in cash. What are you going to do?
Ask him where he got it.
No. Oh, really? You know where he got it. I mean, he'll probably die, you know, but that's after he lets you have some.
Ask how much I can have.
Well, you can have it all because you're going to make sure he ODs. But do you understand that this dog of a company is actually, see that thing, that $1.6 billion, that's a special dividend. They could do that as a special dividend to their shareholders and then just watch the rest of the company just like that and go into bankruptcy and fall apart. And that's that EV model. You see, that's actually bleeding their enterprise value. If they dump it onto their shareholders as a special dividend, they're going to have their shareholders love them to death. As it is, the shareholders are going to curse them as the stock price goes down, down, down for a few years until the company flails around and farts and dies. Or they could go out heroes and give candy to their shareholders. You understand what this means is that sometimes a company that is in really bad shape, look at the enterprise value of it. And in that case, you may find that there is a gold nugget. The question would be, though, are these young executives, do they really believe that they could turn around the Titanic? If they can't, if they believe it, walk away. But if they really are realists and all they're doing is PR, yeah, we're going to bring this company around, then it might be worth having this stock so that you become a beneficiary of that special dividend when they bleed off the real value of the company, which is purely their cash, and just leave this corpse to die on its own. That's usefulness. That's where you can actually translate this abstraction and theoretical stuff of enterprise value into the real world of investing. Find companies that are near their deathbed, but they're cash rich, and see if the management has the common sense to just let it go, pay out a special dividend, and just basically just sit there until the company dies and then walk away. Something to think about. And that's why the EV approach, it's not that bad. Now, interestingly enough, another thing, too, is if I were to look down here, let me get down to the total assets. Look at that. The long-term debt has gone down, not by half, but about by 40% from fiscal 17 to 18. Is this 17 to 18? No, it's 18 to 19. From fiscal 18 to 19, you see that the value of the debt has fallen dramatically. Now, interestingly enough, though, if you think about a company that is in great trouble, it's probably going to have, it's the price of its debt is probably going to be way below par. It's just probably not going to pay off all its debt. So in other words, if you look at what the company did here by paying off the debt, it's really not as strong as it looks because this was way below par, all the debt they had there, $817 million. It was probably worth $700 million at market value of, let's say, 90 to 92 on the 100. Now it's tailed down even more. So the market value of their debt right now is probably around $400 because the company is in so much trouble. The bond holders are selling it like hotcakes. So that means that the market value of the debt is actually fairly minimal on GameStop. And then the market value of equity, if you look at the market value of equity, let me go back up here real quick and look at the market cap, the summary. Market value of the equity is near $500 million, nearly half a billion dollars is the market cap. So you got $500 billion, maybe $400 at the market value of the debt, if it's selling at, let's say, 90 on the 100. And then the value of the other claims, well, let me go back here and look. Balance sheet. Look at the other claims, the other... accounts payable. Whoa, howdy doody. $1 billion in accounts payable? Well, someone hasn't been paying their electric bill. The taxes payable, deferred revenues, account accrued liabilities. The only thing on that balance sheet that looks like it's serious is that $1.052 billion in accounts payable. They're not paying their bills. Realistically, though, how likely is it they're ever going to pay those bills? So in other words, the market value, if I came in and said, they said, look, we can't pay you $1.052 billion, but we can pay you something. I mean, I'd probably, in a case like this, if they owed me a bill, I'd probably be joyful if they give me 50 cents on the dollar for it. I'd take it. So this may be around $500 million. Okay? So you got maybe about $500 million, $400 million, $900 million, and then the market value of the other claims, putting all those together, I don't know, maybe you've got $500 million. Oops, yeah. $500 million, $520, $500, $600 probably. They won't pay most of these. This will probably be worth about $100 million. Six, maybe deferred revenues. Maybe $700 million right there. So if you put the $500 million on the market cap and another $400 million on the market value of the debt and maybe another $7 on the market value of other claims, what is that? That's about $1.6 billion. $1.6 billion plus all that cash, that's, that's $3.2 billion. That's... You take the cash away. Dude. This company is worth almost nothing enterprise value-wise, really. Market value was $500 million. Four, that's nine. Nine and another... Nine and another... Five, eight, nine, ten... It's really, okay, so it's maybe about 1.3 if I were to use just a quick judgment on it. $1.3 billion. And then minus that 1.6, it's got negative enterprise value. But if they were to unload that as a special dividend, suddenly the enterprise value would shoot back up through the roof. That would cause a rather quick recovery in the stock price, at least in the short run, strip them of anything that would be worth a lot of money in the company, and then they can just let the company die from there by as they wish. Hard to call, though. I'm sure that the bondholders would have a fit if they did that. Okay, now, one last one. This one is different from the one I just gave you here. This is enterprise value added. That's why I had to be careful with my lecture notes. EVA. This one is the EVA approach. Don't confuse that with the EV, which is enterprise value. This is an enterprise value added approach. It's actually kind of, take this. Equity capital. How much equity capital does the company have? In other words, what belongs to shareholders, which would be driving the price of the stock, times the difference between the return on equity and the cost of capital. Now here, I'm doing this the way the book does. Realistically, you would probably just use the weighted average cost of capital if you were going to do this. I mean, essentially, okay, the shareholders are getting a return of 25% ROE, net income divided by shareholders' equity. Okay, they're getting 25%. Capital overall, the weighted average cost of capital is, let's say, 12%. Okay, so in other words, the net return to the shareholders is 25% minus 12%, or 13%. Okay, you take that 13% times how much the shareholders have a stake in it. So if it's $100 million, then you'd have $100 million times 13%, or they would be their value would be $13 million. That would be the enterprise value added. In other words, how much punch is are those shareholders getting? I mean, just use these formulas. Don't think too much about them if they don't make sense to you. Just plug the numbers into the formulas where they are in the problems. Honestly, what is the biggest, what's the most popular one? Dividend growth is actually very popular. The stupid one up here, PE valuation approach, is very hot too. However, enterprise value has its use. As you saw with GameStop here, I can use that to conceptualize the best path that GameStop would want to take. Let me show you another one here. I know what I'll do. NFLX. Really? Just to show you this in practice, how this works. Netflix right now is at $288.17 a share. Okay, now let's go to the summary. Now its market cap, Netflix's market cap, is $126 billion. That's a pretty heavy amount. It's not the largest company in the world, but it's a big number. Okay, market cap. So in other words, that would be the market value of equity. Now, looking at the market value of debt that the company has, first of all, let me get the balance sheet up here. And I'll show you this market value in practice. Okay, the balance sheet says that at book, which would be assuming $100 par, long term. Holy 10.360 billion dollars. Okay, so let me go back here real quick. What was the market cap on Netflix? What was it? 126. Let me get back up here to the summary. 126.348. Okay, 126.348, and that's in billions. That's the market value of the equity. Okay, now the debt here, on book, the market value of the debt right now, the book value of the debt is $10.360 billion. But that's the book value. Now, let me try something here. I'm going to see if I can find it real fast and dirty.
NFLX bonds. Netflix bonds.
Okay, 103.37. So in other words, the book value, I would say that the market is putting a multiple of 1.0337 on book. 1.0337. On the book. In other words, the market's saying that every $1,000 is really $1,033.70. Okay, so now, plus the market value of other things that the company, other liabilities. If I go back here, the easiest approach to this would be to say, all right, let's take all of their total liabilities minus the book on long-term debt and say, that's their market value. How are we going to calculate it otherwise? Especially Netflix is going to pay its bills, so it's probably, okay, now let me pull this up real quick. And I'm going to say, okay, all their liabilities add up to 20.736. Really? It turned off. This calculator turns off. Okay, I got to get over that. It's going to be that way. Okay, minus the book value of the debt. What's the book on the debt? What was that? 10.3 minus 10.36. Okay, so that's the book value of the other claims, minus taking out the debt that we already did the market value on. Now, what do we do with those? Do we adjust it by some factor? I mean, if the company's in trouble, yeah, I would, but Netflix is going to pay these, and it's going to pay the book on them. So I'm probably just going to leave that as 10.377. That's an odd thing. Billion. Now, minus the cash. Take this guy up, clear up to the top, cash and cash equivalents, 3.794 billion. That should give me the enterprise value of Netflix. You notice that the company that keeps all that cash, that's a huge amount of cash. That's almost $3.8 billion in cash. Now remember, cash doesn't make you hardly any money whatsoever. It's liquid, so its return is low. I mean, you can put it into a quickie checking account, you're not going to get anything but a toaster for opening up a checking account. I don't care if it's if you have that much, they'll probably give you two toasters. Which reminds me, there's a YouTube video, how to make grilled cheese in your toaster. You know, you put the bread, and then you put the cheese, and then you put the other one, and you put it in the... It doesn't work. The cheese melts over. I nearly had a fire. Seriously, trust me on that. I'm so sorry I did that, because... 126.348 plus 10.337 times a market factor of 1.03 on the dollar 37 plus 10.337, which is an odd coincidence. Minus. Well, let me do this. Delete. Okay, if it didn't have all that cash, Netflix's enterprise value would be 147.37. With all that cash in there, minus that 3.794, its enterprise value, its enterprise value goes down to 143. So in other words, just taking it as a quick back of the envelope, 143.58 divided by 147.37. The cash, that burden of that huge amount of cash, reduces the enterprise value by about, what, 2.5%. That's not that significant. But it does show you that cash does bleed off. The smaller the corporation, the worse it gets. With something as big as Netflix, it's not much of a problem. But a smaller corporation, just very quickly, I'm not going to go through, but this gives you that just gives you an example how to do this. But let me go back here. TSLA. Tesla. Wow. Tesla has... Well, let me do something real quick here. Let me get up to summary on Tesla. Summary on Tesla. Market cap is $56.783 billion. Okay? 56.783. Okay, that's market value of equity. Plus, now let's go over here and let's look at its financials and really quickly look at the balance sheet. Long-term debt,9.403. Now we'll scale a factor, see if I can find TSLA bonds. So 1.11788 times 1.11788. That would be the market value of equity plus the market value of other claims. I'll do that the same way I did the last one. What I'm going to do, and I'm just going to take the total liabilities, 23, open parenthesis, 23.982, 23.982, minus the book value of the debt that I did up here, 9.404, close the parenthesis. Now, if it didn't have the cash, Tesla would have an enterprise value of 81.87. Now, let me take out the cash and see what that does to the value, to the enterprise value. Minus 3.686. 3.686. That would drop Tesla's enterprise, that cash makes the current actual enterprise value about $78.19 billion. Now let me do something real quick here. I'm going to take that number, 78. I did not want to do that. I'm going to take the 78.168186 rather, and divide that. What enterprise value is with the cash divided by what it would be if it didn't have that cash. 81.872. Survey says, oh, Tesla holding all that cash is more damaged the enterprise value is than Netflix was. by holding a similar amount of cash, because the overall value of Tesla is less, that cash actually hurts its enterprise value more than it did Netflix. In this case, Netflix has an enterprise value that is 4.5 times lower than it would be if it didn't hold that massive amount of cash. So there's one of the things, is the smaller the company is, the more that cash hurts your enterprise value, and therefore your stock price. If Netflix were to, or rather, if Tesla were to get rid of that cash, or at least get rid of a good portion of it, then its stock price would go up as a result, because its enterprise value would go up. Now, why is it holding all that cash? God knows why. I guess I could understand Netflix having a war chest and for takeovers and for big projects. But why Netflix is holding all that cash? Well, that's difficult to call. One last thing here. Preferred stock. I need to bring that up real quick. Preferred stock. Preferred stock is a strange animal. If you buy a share of preferred stock, you get a dividend every year, forever and ever and ever. You might get it on a quarterly basis, whatever. But let's say you had DML 1.4% cumulative preferred par value $25 per share. All that means, what that means, you buy a share of this, and I've done this one before, and this is my second pass at it. It seems like I'm doing, it's deja vu. It just means that every year you will get a dividend of 1.4% times the par value on the stock certificate. You will just get that every year. Now, if you don't get your dividend, the common stockholders are not allowed to have a dividend. That's why it's called preferred. It's still equity, but it has a higher claim than the common. It's not debt, but it just has a higher claim. Also, this is cumulative preferred, which means if the company doesn't pay you a dividend this year, and next year, let's say, in order for them to ever pay a common stock dividend, they would have to pay off all of the back dividends to the preferred shareholders. In this case, that would simply mean that you would have 0.014 times $25. You get a check for 35 cents for every forever. This is why, as I had mentioned before, this is a good alternative as a fixed income investment for older people. It'll just keep coming at you forever and ever. And it does not, unlike debt, it doesn't mature. That means you don't have to roll over when they pay you the face value of the debt at the maturity date like the bonds do. This just keeps going on forever and ever and ever. Now, the thing about preferred is it actually behaves in several ways like bonds. Notice that the coupon times the face value is what you get as your payment for a bond. And with a preferred stock, it is your cumulative preferred dividend times the par value of the stock. So it's got a lot of weird features that are very similar to bonds. One interesting thing, though, it's so easy to price. The price right now of a share of common stock is a dividend growth model without any growth. It's just the dividend over the discount rate that you use for it. That's all it is. Because remember, D1 D0 times 1 plus G, if there is no G, then that's just your dividend, which is the same forever, and R minus G, if there's no G, that's just R. So it's a super simplified version of the dividend growth model. Here, suppose DML has a current discount rate of 1.6%. Well, this stock pays only 1.4%, so this is not going to be very, investors aren't going to be very happy with it. So what you would have in a case like this is that the current price would be D0.35 over a discount rate of 0.016, which means that this will sell at a discount to par. In other words, 0.035 divided by 0.016. Really? What am I doing wrong here? That should be 20.
0.035 instead of 0.35.
Oh, I'm just testing. All right, 0.035. No, 35 cents. See, I'm just testing you to see if you're watching what I'm doing there. Wow. Wow, that was... Yeah, 21. See, it's selling below par because the market's not happy with them. But if that discount rate dropped to, let's say, 1.2%, then it'd be 35 cent dividend divided by 0.012. It would sell at a premium to par. Again, it behaves very similarly to bonds. Yield goes above the coupon, discount. Yield goes below the coupon, premium. And this is how preferred stock works as well. One last twist, however. This is the expected return to preferred stock. This R that you would use there. I can turn this around and find out what the cost of preferred stock is. I can turn it around and say, okay, what if the current price of DML preferred is $27.50? I can find the cost of preferred capital. All I would do is just rearrange this so that the cost of preferred capital, R, is D over P0, which in this case would be 0.35 over the current price of $27.50. Just get this in your notes. It'll help you with a couple of problems. I would just say, okay, I'll take 0.35 divided by a price of $27.50 The cost right now of preferred stock, the cost of that kind of equity, the cost of having preferred shareholders is 1.27%. That's cheap capital. That is really cheap capital. And again, it goes back to the question, why don't companies use preferred stock? Sell it in offerings. It's just so far out of vogue, it's just not done. Part of it's because it's a locked-in dividend. The company really doesn't have a whole lot of choice about what to do with after net income. If it has preferred dividends, one of its first things is it has to pay its preferred dividends. However, again, though, we can calculate the component costs of capital. Now, the last part of this course, I'm going to show you how to do the other ones.
What's the cost of debt, which I actually already did? How do you calculate the cost of equity, which is coming up in a later lecture? But for today, that's all I have for you. I thank you.